Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Ms. Lily Mu Lee on July 30th, 1982. This is the fourth tape. So you were talking about...
We lived at Kensington, and myself, after we were married. And then my ex-husband and I bought a home, Cloverdale. That's near the west side of town. Mm-hmm. And from Cloverdale, we moved to Marlton. 4187 Marlton in the Crenshaw area. It was apartment house, eight unit. We bought an eight unit apartment house. We lived upstairs. Mm-hmm. The reason we moved there was because, one, we wanted some real estate units, and two, it was right across the street from St. Bernadette's. It was easy for my kids to go to grammar school, mm-hmm. Catholic school. And then we bought a home at 3930 Don Diablo, which I still own. My son lives there.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We bought that home. And then recently, in the past 2 years, I moved to Los Feliz.
Oh, so that's all the places you have been. How about Kensington? You said that your family owns several houses.
Yeah, it's one house with three lot. It's one house on a large lot,
mm-hmm.
that encompasses three stucco houses.
Uh-huh.
It's actually one lot.
Uh-huh. And then was that purchase, you know, same time, or the family sort of expand from time to time?
You mean, no, we built, it was one large house plus a little house in the back.
Uh-huh.
And then we built two more houses on the same lot.
I see.
So it actually was a double lot.
Uh-huh. So it was purchased, that your father already passed away at that
yes.
time.
Yes.
So the
my brother helped purchase that.
Uh-huh.
I think it was maybe 16,000.
Was that the Oriental neighborhood, or is American neighborhood? I mean, Caucasian.
It was American, yeah, Caucasian neighborhood.
Did you know any, mm-hmm. like, you know, since you are in a Caucasian neighborhood, how was the neighbor react,
yeah.
you know, that here's the Chinese family moving in?
How do you know?
You didn't realize anything.
No.
You just
you have
play
to
with the
my
kids. And
you know, we were in high school.
Uh-huh.
We were in high school, so I don't...
Did you have to go to a different high school?
Belmont High School.
Uh-huh.
No, we started. I started at Belmont High School.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't too far away from...
No, well, no, it's a little difficult to walk where you could.
Uh-huh.
So walk over to Temple Street and take the bus.
Uh-huh.
Take the bus to Belmont Avenue and then walk three blocks. It was partly walking and partly bus.
Busing. Mm-hmm. Ah, I see. So how about later on, you know, when you got married and you say you live in Kensington for a while, and then you and your husband bought the house in Cloverdale.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of neighborhood was that?
At that time?
Uh-huh. You say west side?
It was a mixed neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. That was at about 60s or something?
Yeah, it's probably in the 60s.
Mm-hmm. So that you didn't have any difficulty purchasing house?
No.
Houses? And
no.
Like, not like early days, some of the Chinese experiences, the difficulty of...
I think we had difficulty purchasing, come to think of it, maybe someone purchased Kensington,
mm-hmm.
and then sold it to us. That's my brother.
Okay.
I think there was something in regards to just really be able, just beyond that point.
Uh-huh.
Interesting to ask.
Yeah, but then after that, you didn't have any trouble
no.
getting into anywhere.
No.
Yeah. How did you choose the sites like Cloverdale? Is there any special reason?
No.
You just
probably
go
the
to
price was right.
That's very important, isn't it? Okay. So since you were born in Chinatown and you grew up there, and then later you got involved, you know, working. And mostly you deal with American people. Do you sort of miss the Chinese community or Chinatown activities? Or did you still continue to have...
When? What period?
After you moved out from Chinatown, like from after you got married, you actually moved out from Chinatown.
Oh, we still have the store in Chinatown, so we're very much involved.
Uh-huh. So was what store is the your brother's?
Mill Brothers.
Uh-huh. So you will go down to Chinatown and help out?
Yeah, when we moved up there, we were always in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't, we didn't feel a total transition.
Uh-huh. So you still involved in the
Chinese. Yeah, we were part of Chinatown.
Uh-huh. Even up to till today.
Mm-hmm. I should think so.
Uh-huh.
We're still part of China. I think because the linkages with our store and we've been here so long.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh.
I think those that was not a part of Chinatown as long as we were. When they made a move, it was a complete separation, and Chinatown was the place to maybe buy groceries and visit.
Uh-huh.
But we see we know the families and
mm-hmm.
activities. Maybe not as much now since we sold our store.
Uh-huh. When did the...
We sold it this year.
I see.
And it's very interesting. We probably got the best price ever obtained in Chinatown. I think it's because we're right in the center of Chinatown at
mm-hmm.
463 Jingling Way.
Mm-hmm.
But my son sold it recently to our neighbor, the Suhu family,
mm-hmm.
for $450 per square foot, which is very, very high.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So... The family, why did the family want to sell the business?
Well, my brother wanted to retire, George.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was getting a little bit tired, so it was time to sell.
I see. Oh, wow, that's a good reason, yeah. So, anyway, you still have a pretty much a close tie to the Chinatown area.
Yeah, it seems as if I'm coming with myself. I was away in that I was involved in the social functions of the American Society, but still am very heavily, but it seems like I'm coming back and being more involved with the Chinese organization
mm-hmm.
and bringing them. I think I'm going back to them to bring them maybe into the, be a sort of a coordinator between the Chinese and American.
Great, yes. Uh-huh. We need people like you to help, make the connections.
Bring them together.
Right. Do you feel more Chinese or more Americans, or you never really thought about it?
No, I don't feel. I don't know. That thought never occurs to me.
Uh huh. But if I ask you now, do you feel
would it
more?
No, because I've.
You still cannot really say I'm more Chinese or American.
No.
What do you think of your?
Well, you know what? It becomes a blend. How do you separate what's what?
Uh-huh.
You know, you're part of the American society, the Chinese American society. I don't think that I feel that I belong in one or the other, but I'm part of both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's very true. And this question, I don't think it's a great question, but I will ask anyway. Did you ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
No.
Your attitude is different.
No, I don't think, no. I've never experienced, I think that if anyone do a pro and con sheet, I don't think they would ever feel that they would prefer to be different.
Uh-huh.
I think there are moments that you don't want to be anything, or there are moments that we don't like
uh-huh.
in our life,
right.
But you don't dispel something and eliminate it
mm-hmm.
because there are many good points.
That's right, yeah. Well, since you grew up in Chinatown, and I think I asked this question before in different forms, did you ever disagree with your family of, the way that your parents want
to
bring you
bring,
up?
Bring me up?
Yeah.
No, I have a different way of looking at it. I feel that you look at not so much what they say and how they accomplish it, but how they were taught
mm-hmm.
to teach and accomplish and how they viewed it, view life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can never criticize their way of bringing you up, nor should my son criticize me if I try to bring them up with some of my thoughts
mm-hmm.
that are old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
We should always allow for that.
Mm-hmm. So even when you were kids, you don't fit, this is your thinking now, and when you were kids, did you ever
think
sort of try to disagree with them, you know, say I wish I could be more, you know, on the like American American children rather than being Chinese.
No, it was I guess maybe my mother never felt any of these things should be or could be hers. And I think as a child growing up I was very simple. And anything was good and happy. And so I was never felt, if it wasn't mine, if you see something, maybe pretty dress or someone else's doll. I can give you an example. When I was under 10 years old, six, seven, there was a Chinese couple. But they didn't live, I thought of them as living in the American community, and I thought of them being very rich, I thought, or they were different than us. I don't think I would apply money to it. And because they had a car, you know, so you say, oh my God, they have a car. And they had this little girl, and I think they took me along on Saturdays, and I always remember taking me with them, not all the time, like to a movie. And I guess it was to keep, well, maybe keep the daughter company. And I'm sure they didn't live in such a fancy house now, you know, but at that, you imagine it to be very big and very fancy. And I always remember walking into her room, and it was full of dolls and you know.
Toys.
And but I never envied her.
Was that your mother's teaching in a sense?
I think so. I've never never felt that if it was, it was there, and if I didn't have it, it should be mine. You see, I never felt, because you have it, I should.
Great, yeah. I think it's hard for a kid now to think that way. Most of the kids probably will feel, you know, gee, I wish I had that in that type of thinking.
I think we, I may have said, oh, I wish I can have that doll, or I can wish I can have that toy. But I'm not unhappy that I can't, because everyone wishes. As a child, you always wish for this, you know, always wish for that.
But you can still be happy. That's right. Well, like, all of these, do you think you are typical Chinese, or you are somehow different from the others?
Say that again.
I mean, or you know, the things that we talk about, you know, do you think you are typical Chinese, or you are somehow different from the other Chinese, or you never thought of that?
I guess if we try to analyze, I guess maybe I have to say that I am in a way, but I don't categorize myself. When I sit stand next to a person, I see I don't compare who I am or who they are, but rather how they are inside. You know, I never see a person, their ugliness or their beauty, or they're tall or they're fat or they're thin. But I think maybe I'm very sensitive to people, that I feel who they are inside, rather than how they look exterior and how they express themselves, or where they, what level they are in society or in life.
That's very different. different ways of analyzing things, I guess. Yeah.
See that also applies in whatever, whether I'm talking to a janitor or president of a corporation, I also look at it in the same way.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, talking about family, now, do your family practice a lot of the Chinese customs, like observing Chinese holidays, eating special food for New Year's type of things?
When we lived in Chinatown, yes. And I think up to the point when my mom passed away, we practiced all of those Chinese traditions, like Chinese New Year's. You know, you don't wash your hair the day of Chinese New Year's. You clean your house before, you don't argue. And I guess whatever we're supposed to eat the day before, the Chinese food, and then the lacy. We did all of those, all the holidays we practiced.
But after your mom passed away, you sort of, everybody has his or her own family. So in this younger generation, do they practice?
No, I think what we do get together for Chinese New Year's for dinner, mm-hmm. the family, but we do it in the restaurant.
Uh-huh. It's easier, it's better. Yeah. Not necessary.
We don't have the traditional ways uh-huh. that we follow, like, you know, what is in May that you make these Chinese tamales?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Used to do that. Yeah.
Ah.
And I used to
help your mom wrapping it?
Yeah, and then I made my own.
Ah.
Yeah. We did that in the salty duck eggs. We used to make those.
Ah.
And what else we do for the holidays? Oh, we always receive Lacey.
That's most important part. Yeah. How about in your family, anybody gets sick? Do you see? Oh, I shouldn't ask the question because if you see your father was a Chinese herb doctor,
mm-hmm.
so. You see Chinese herb doctor, and after your father passed away, did you have someone take care of the family's members while they're sick? Did your brother practice?
No, none of the family practiced that.
Okay, so did you go look for an American doctor or a Chinese herb doctor?
Well, I never got sick, so.
How about
family member? I'm sure they did if we were sick, but you know, I don't remember.
Okay. Did you remember that you drink any like herb tea?
Oh, yeah. My dad used to brew it for most of the people in the restaurant, and I remember he used to take orders and I used to deliver.
Uh-huh.
And I used to drink it.
Uh-huh.
And it was very bitter.
Uh-huh.
And we always had to drink it fairly warm.
Uh-huh.
And then the only thing, we couldn't drink water afterwards.
Oh.
We always had like a few grapes, raisins,
uh-huh.
to wash it down, and that was it.
Uh-huh.
I always remembered it was so difficult to drink that.
Oh. How about herbs in the like chickens or food? Like, you know, put a Chinese herb in the soup.
Oh, sure, like that brain soup?
Yes.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
We do that. And we used it quite a bit, different types of cooking.
Uh-huh. Do you remember what type of herbs they use, or did you actually practice yourself later?
Yeah, I did, but I forget what, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you give those kind of herb, medicine-oriented food to your children?
We did at the very early when they were little, and when I used to be at home and cook.
Uh-huh.
I used to always remember oxtail and brain soup,
uh-huh.
with all the medicine.
Ah. In it,
yeah.
So where did you get the medicine?
I don't know whether.
Because your brother sort of practiced it a little bit, but then, again, how do you know?
We must have had a lot. My mom must have had, saved.
Uh-huh.
And I got it either from her or from the grocery store.
So you remember what to buy and what to put and
mm-hmm.
how much the amount.
Well, they normally make the combination for you,
mm-hmm.
and then you take it home. And I used to know what to put in. I don't know
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Well, what purpose though?
Pardon?
Why do you have to feed them these herbs?
Oh, no, that I just liked it.
Uh-huh. It's like for like make them stronger, growing faster.
I didn't know why. I just enjoyed it and I had it and I knew it was probably good for us.
Uh-huh.
I didn't make it for that reason.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did your children sort of dislike them or?
No, they liked it.
Mm-hmm. You're probably a good cook. You probably make yourself most of the time. I think it tastes, funny anyway.
Oh, really?
It's
no, they used to eat all the Chinese food, the hamyur, the
uh-huh.
salty fish. And,
uh-huh.
And they eat all the Chinese food.
Tradition, very traditional
fish, yeah.
dishes that you don't really see in the restaurant.
No. No,
right.
These dishes you don't see in the restaurant.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. How about in recreation? Like, what type of recreation your family had in early days, and then?
In the early days, when you talk, you mean myself with
your parents and also yourself.
Oh, we used to go once a year to Lincoln Park.
Ah. Whole family.
Well, I think my mom,
uh-huh.
not my dad.
Uh-huh.
My mom and us, we must have taken, I think we took the streetcar.
Uh-huh.
And we did the same, I think once a year to Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
And they used to have a nice beach.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure we took the red car to to that. And that was our activity.
Once
see, Chinatown
year,
was busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just play down in the street, so you're really...
You work there and you play there.
Yeah, you play out in the street all day long. So that's really your recreation, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you had Chinese school and you played there.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to, the old days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There was activity on the school ground or at school. But the outing with the family, it was Long Beach and Lincoln Park.
Do you know, I think you probably don't remember, why it was once a year and, I mean, it's particular
It was just summer. And,
summer.
You know, when you're poor, we weren't recreation oriented.
Was that a very exciting
thing
to do?
Looking forward to, that was the year event you worked, like looking forward to Christmas, you know.
I see. So what did you do? You take the bus and go down Lincoln Park, and what did you do there? You bring the food there?
Well, yeah, I think my mom probably brought lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she did. We couldn't afford to
bring
anything.
A Chinese lunch or American sandwich?
Probably sandwiches. And mm-hmm. We always rode the merry-go-round.
Uh-huh.
And probably, there's probably some fishes, and I'm sure my brothers try to catch fish.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, at the beach, they have the amusement park.
Uh-huh.
I remember walking through there.
That's a Long Beach?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And playing on the beach.
Oh, sounds very much fun. Did your parents play mahjong?
No.
Uh-huh.
My family did. My parents didn't.
Uh-huh. So they sort of always working hard. And
mm-hmm.
How about your brothers? You know, do they like a very sporty type, go to the ball games, or they just still also play around Chinatown the same as you did?
Yeah, they did that. And my brother in high school was on a football team. So, and he ran track. So we were involved in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that was the extent of it.
Uh-huh. I see. Well, are there